From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in El Sobrante.
I live in Emeryville.
I live in Antioch, California.
Potter's Creek.
Pleasant Hill.
Coming up, we're taking stock of the election. From the ecstatic...
Donald Trump has done an amazing job as a candidate. People who would usually stay home are coming out and voting for Donald.
To the despondent.
If I were talking to Donald Trump, I would tell him, you should probably step down because I'm not very confident that you can run this country.
Also, we'll talk about what the Trump presidency means for Muslims in America.
I think many were hoping to maybe get some rest on November 9th, and instead they are reminded that it's going to take a lot of work to undo the damage that's been done.
Stay tuned. Cross Currents is next. We're starting today with a note for our audience. As KALW News Director, I and my team, we see our job as a public service. Our mission is to inform people and bridge the divides in our communities. We report thoroughly. We report impartially. We dig deeply into political, economic, and everyday subjects, and we treat people fairly. That's who we are. So what I'm about to say may feel uncomfortable for many of you, but this is not a comfortable time. For many reasons, millions of people in the United States voted for a president-elect who has a proven record of misogyny, xenophobia, and racism. His election is evidence of deep frustration with what's happening in this country. It's also causing enormous pain, anxiety, and fear for millions of people. We understand, and we feel it too. That's because of what Donald Trump has said he would do and what he has done to women, immigrants, people of color, people from other nations, his political opponents, and people who don't agree with his views of the moment. Like many of you, we're concerned. And we are committing to you that we will watch what happens under this new administration very closely and will deeply consider its effects on the people of the San Francisco Bay Area. Our mission is to inform people and bridge the divides in our communities. We are thinking about our role, and we will watch out for all of us. If you'd like to share your thoughts, we'd like to hear them. You can call 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. So yes, let's talk about the elephant in everybody's room. Donald Trump's stunning victory in the presidential race felt even more shocking here in the deeply Democratic Bay Area. In Alameda County, the president-elect got just 15% of the vote. In San Francisco, less than 10%. But nationally, it was a different story. Our friends at Youth Radio in Oakland checked in with some young voters around the country to see whom they voted for and how they feel the day after.
I'm Will Carter in Macon, Georgia. I'm 19 years old, and I voted for Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump needs to unite the entirety of the nation. A lot of people consider his proposals to be very radical. Many people look at them and think that they are going to split apart the nation. So he needs to work hard to unite the people under a common banner of liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Donald Trump's an outsider, and since he is an outsider, I think he really needs to address the issues that millennials are facing: growing college prices, the rising national debt, or even entitlement reform, because we inherit the bill in the end.
I'm Esme Ablaza in New York City. I'm 18 years old, and I voted for Hillary Clinton. I think Donald Trump should not underestimate women and all of the people who he has insulted and marginalized, because we will continue to make our voices heard, whether he likes it or not.
My name is Oluwafemi Ajala. I live in Oakland, California. I am 20 years old, and I voted for Hillary Clinton. If I were talking to Donald Trump, I would tell him, I really think you should reevaluate yourself because you've just been a problematic figure regarding issues relating to race or issues relating to sexual assault and immigration reform. I feel like you've just made a mockery out of it. You should probably step down because I just don't think you being the next president of the United States, I'm not very confident that you can run this country.
One man who doesn't share that sentiment at all is San Francisco GOP member Howard Epstein. Last night, he and other Republicans partied at a rented space in Twitter's building on Market Street, and he was thrilled.
Donald Trump has done an amazing job as a candidate, and he's mobilized people. People who would usually stay home are coming out and voting for Donald. People who would say they don't like Donald are coming out and voting for him. And it's an amazing evening.
San Francisco Republicans planned to end their party at 9:30. They ran out of alcohol, but they were having so much fun, they bought more and stuck around until that ran out too. Unexpectedly good times. For most others around here, though, not so much. After the presidency was declared, protests broke out in San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley. One protester was hit by a car and suffered serious injuries. Another protest is taking place right now in downtown Oakland. There was a whole lot more to think about in the Bay Area, with dozens and dozens and dozens of ballot measures to consider. California voters passed 12 of 17 propositions, including one that made national headlines. KALW's Stephen Short has more.
California's marijuana users can finally step out of the shadows because voters have approved Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. People attending last night's Yes on 64 party in San Francisco included Aaron Smith, executive director of the National Cannabis Industry Association.
We just got a big win in Florida for medical marijuana, and we can now actually say that 60% of Americans live in a state that has some form of legal marijuana, and it's unbelievable.
The rules under Prop 64 allow anyone at least 21 years old to possess up to an ounce of marijuana flower and allows for a taxed and regulated recreational marijuana industry. But don't hold your breath waiting for your local recreational pot shop to open its doors. The earliest that that will happen is January. Not next January, but January 2018.
That's KALW's Stephen Short. Voters also called for more legislative transparency, an extension of a tax on high earners, a higher tax on cigarettes and e-cigarettes, multilingual schools, and more regulations on guns and ammunition. They decided not to try to lower the price of pharmaceuticals, not require condoms and porn, and not repeal the death penalty. Instead, they voted to speed up the appeals process. Here's KALW's Holly J. McDeed with more.
The results are in for California's two competing death penalty ballot measures. Prop 66, the measure that would speed up the death penalty appeal process, has passed. Prop 62, though, which would have appealed the death penalty, has not. Matt Cherry opposes the death penalty and doesn't think that Prop 66 is realistic.
So I think if 66 passes and 62 loses, we're going to see what we've seen with the death penalty over the last 10 years, which is failure, expenses, litigation, confusion, and frustration.
Prop 66 seeks to speed up the appeal process by adding to the pool of qualified attorneys who can take on those appeals. But that doesn't mean executions will take place anytime soon, because those will remain frozen until the state revises its lethal injection protocol.
In a nation that turned redder last night, elected officials were a deep blue in the Bay Area. Democrat Kamala Harris took an easy and expected victory over fellow Democrat Loretta Sanchez in the race for Barbara Boxer's U.S. Senate seat. And in a rematch of Silicon Valley Democrats, Ro Khanna became a congressman, beating eight-term incumbent Mike Honda. In San Francisco, two Democrats battled it out for a vacant seat in the state Senate. KALW's Judy Silber reports.
Scott Weiner claimed victory for the District 11 state Senate seat, representing San Francisco and northern San Mateo County. Weiner had fought a tight race against Jane Kim, and on the surface, the two are more alike than not. They are both current San Francisco supervisors, progressive, and both have vowed to address this city's most vexing problem, that of affordable housing. The difference is they have very different ideas about how that should be done, with Weiner saying the city must bolster its shelter system and remove tent encampments on the streets.
This was not an easy campaign. This was a hard campaign, and we only did it because of the coalition that we built.
Weiner prevailed with millions of dollars raised by his campaign and endorsements from Democratic heavyweights such as Senator Dianne Feinstein. And to a crowd in the Castro, Wiener told them, with last night's election results, it's all the more important to move forward in California. For KALW News, I'm Judy Silber.
Jane Kim will return to her seat on the Board of Supervisors, while Mayor Ed Lee can appoint somebody to Scott Wiener's. The overall makeup of the Board of Supes may shift to the moderate side of the Democratic spectrum. Labor union official Asha Safai leads in the race for termed-out John Avalos' seat. A count of ranked choice votes is underway. Several measures on San Francisco's ballot also pitted moderate and progressive politicians against each other. KALW's Liza Veal reports.
Supervisor Aaron Peskin was upbeat about progressive victories on the local ballot. First, the defeat of the Realtor Association-backed measures.
The voters saw through the Realtors' two anti-affordability measures, propositions P and U. They could tell they stank PU.
You guys love that joke.
Yeah.
And he says the voters of San Francisco overwhelmingly supported Prop C to provide $261 million for affordable housing. But unfortunately for Peskin, the four good government measures, as the progressives call them, were defeated. Mayor Ed Lee campaigned against those, so he'll be pleased. But the bad news for the mayor is that his sales tax, Prop K, did not pass. It was supposed to provide $155 million for homelessness and transportation services, but it
went down to an overwhelming defeat while the mayor was distracted with four relatively modest Democratic reform measures. So that's the story here in San Francisco.
At least according to Aaron Peskin. In San Francisco, I'm Liza Veal.
San Franciscans passed a proposition that would outlaw tents on sidewalks, and another that would put limits on lobbyists. They overwhelmingly passed a measure to try to improve police oversight. And they passed two education measures, a bond for public schools, and a tax extension to support City College of San Francisco. KALW's J.C. Howard was at a campaign party for Props A and B last night.
Supporters of Proposition B gather at Mooka Restaurant in San Francisco to celebrate the extension of a $99 a year property tax, now set to continue funding for City College of San Francisco through the year 2031. The increase in the tax goes to what supporters call a critical cause, a raise for faculty who have not received a pay increase since the year 2007. City College Board of Trustees President Raphael Mandelman is excited about the victory.
It's a good thing because it's going to allow us to preserve classes, to preserve access for students, and to give our employees a little bit of additional compensation.
Proposition B had no official opposition, so supporters are not surprised about the victory, but they do celebrate the definitive win anyway. For KALW, I'm J.C. Howard in San Francisco.
While San Francisco voters approved education funding measures, they rejected propositions that would allow people as young as 16 to vote in local elections. Often, when many measures fill the ballots, the easy answer for voters is to just say no. But that was not the overall trend in the Bay Area. KALW's Marissa Ortega-Welch has more on that when it comes to so-called soda taxes.
Last night, all three soda taxes on the ballot in the Bay Area passed. Oakland, San Francisco, and Albany voters approved the 1 cent per ounce tax on sugar-sweetened beverages by an overwhelming majority. People might have had the presidential election on their mind, but they were busy celebrating their hard work on this campaign. The tiny Measure HH headquarters in Oakland was packed with volunteers and supporters of all ages. Everyone was eating pupusas and toasting their victory with beer, not soda. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf and Oakland City Council members Desley Brooks and Annie Campbell Washington all stopped by to help celebrate. Diane Woolocean, Oakland campaign spokesperson, said the victories really do prove the strength of communities.
I mean, I think it brings it down to all politics is local, and this is really local politics. This is a local initiative against a large corporation.
Woolocean says the tax on soda distributors will bring in revenue that the city of Oakland can use for health programs. Oakland's soda tax will go into effect July 2017. For Cross Currents, I'm Marissa Ortega-Welch in Oakland.
While the soda tax is passed, voters in the city of Alameda soundly rejected the rent control measure M1. Alameda County voters passed Measure A1, a $500 million bond to pay for affordable housing. And more than two-thirds of voters in Alameda, Contra Costa, and San Francisco counties also came together to pass a $3.5 billion BART bond, RR. Oakland City Council incumbents retained all their seats, and the new mayor of Berkeley is the progressive-leaning Jesse Aragin. Yes, the Bay Area voted on a lot. You could find more election results, all of them actually, at KALW.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney in for Hannah Baba. Muslim leaders are easing the anxiety of their communities today, communities that were the target of Donald Trump attacks all through his campaign. Earlier this afternoon, a number of national Muslim organizations held a press conference in Washington, D.C., led by CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Here's CARE's National Executive Director, Nihad Awad.
To those in the American Muslim community who are fearful, who are fearful of the future, know that America is your home and the home for your children. This is your future. You are not going anywhere. Rest assured that CARE is here for you, your family, and your children.
CARE's Bay Area Executive Director is Zahra Bilu. KALW's Hannah Baba talked with her today about what they're hearing and doing here in the Bay.
What were you thinking about this morning?
This morning I was thinking about whether or not this is all real. And I was thinking about the people that are dealing with the news in different ways. We've heard from people who are on the verge of a nervous breakdown, people who are afraid, and people who are looking for direction about what should we do now.
In the previous weeks or months, has CARE been getting any calls, complaints in terms of voter intimidation, fears, or what to do about what, or just, safety concerns?
So for the past 18 months, it's really been nonstop around safety concerns. More mosques have been attacked than previously. More individuals are reporting instances of hate crimes and hate incidents. And so the environment has been one of concern, fear, safety. People are now tired. I think many were hoping to maybe get some rest on November 9th. And instead, they are reminded that it's going to take a lot of work and more time to undo the damage that's been done.
So if we think about what Trump has said about Muslims, the Muslim community, what he would do to the Muslim community, his policies towards Muslims coming into the country, all of that rhetoric, what are you telling people now who are afraid that they might be, rounded up, if they leave the country, not being able to come back? How much of this are you hearing about and talking about?
We've been hearing about what would happen if Trump wins for many months now. People have been asking, what are the organizations doing to prepare? What's the safety plan? And so for a long time now, we've been training community members on safety, how to protect themselves. But we've also been doing civil rights work. Trump alone won't break and tear up the Constitution. It will take more than him, but it will also be that we stop him. And so we have dozens of lawyers within the CARE organization, but also at partner organizations across the country that are literally standing by and saying, if you experience hate or discrimination or law enforcement harassment, call us. We want to make sure to help you. We will not tolerate any violation of the Constitution by Trump supporters or Trump.
But how do you feel today, like personally, other than what you're hearing from folks? You're a Muslim woman. You wear the headscarf. What are you thinking, feeling?
Donald Trump is bad for my identity in so many ways. I'm a woman. I am a person of color. I'm the daughter of immigrants. I am a Muslim. And I am a civil rights advocate. Sounds like a lot of things that he hates. And honestly, I keep thinking that I'm watching an episode of Scandal or Madam Secretary or something not real. And yet this is where we are. And so I'm committed to continuing to do this work. I'm back in the office today. I'm talking to students. I'm working with clients. I'm working with the media. We have our work cut out for us.
Are you disappointed in America?
In the work that I do, I am nearly daily hearing about unarmed Black men and women who are killed by police. Families that are fearful of immigration raids, Muslim children who are being bullied, and the list goes on. I'm not surprised. I am disappointed. And yet, this is consistent with so much of what we know and see happening.
You talked about the bullying. CARE has a has guidelines for bullying in schools. Any plan to update that, revamp that, just draw people's attention to it?
What's going to be most important for families right now is to ensure that they're talking to qualified mental health professionals about how best to talk to their children and help them cope. And then to talk to attorneys like the ones we have at CARE about knowing their rights, about making sure that school administrators are being supportive. And so in that regard, we will be doing more and more outreach on a number of civil rights issues, school bullying, law enforcement, harassment, employment discrimination, because our concern is that this victory for Trump will embolden people who might have otherwise at least been polite with their bigotry.
And so CARE and other Islamic organizations sound prepared for this, as we heard in the press conference earlier today. What is next? What is your what should we be looking at? What is your eye on?
Today and tomorrow, what I'm most concerned about is really just how people are dealing. Are they okay? Do they need space? Do they need time with family? Do they need to unplug? It is a lot to process. We aren't surprised. We are disappointed. And it's really heavy news. Moving forward, we're going to urge people to continue the conversations with their neighbors, to meet with interfaith partners, to really reach out to people who might also be targeted. And then again, people we disagree with. There is a lot of divisiveness that needs to be repaired and healed.
After today, are you fearful at all? For yourself, for your family?
Maybe this is one of the blessings of having lived in the Bay Area for a decade and being a California native. I am not afraid for myself or my family. I am worried about how people will react to this news, what kinds of policies will be enacted, and what's to come. But for me, that translates to a productive anger, one that I will put to work to protect as many people as I can.
That was Zahra Bilu, Executive Director of the Bay Area Office of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, speaking with KALW's Hannah Baba. If you have experienced anti-Muslim discrimination or have questions about your legal rights, there's information about how to reach the local CARE office at our website, kalw.org. That's our show today. The team includes Jürgen Klemm, Leela Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Olivia Henry, Jeremy Jew, Ted Muldoon, Lisa Morehouse, Judy Silber, Stephen Short, Carrie Spivak, and Andrew Stelzer. Our managing editor is Jen Chian. Our managing producer is Julie Kane. Today's show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley-Maw. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.